This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Good afternoon to you, sir. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing well. You know, it's funny. You're the one historically that has had voice and throat issues, and
yeah.
You know, of course, now that I've got my little infant in our house, and who knows what's going on, I was the one that had to actually delay the day of recording because I lost my voice.
Yeah,
and
man.
That never happens, man. I think I can. I don't know, maybe one other time in my life I've lost my voice, but man, just been drinking a good regimen of you know, mint tea and lots of honey, trying not to use my moneymaker. yeah, for the last few days, and yeah, so getting back on top of it, man. Yeah, we're doing okay though. What's going on in your world?
Oh man, just staying busy. You know, I mentioned a while back I've been working on this play. We just started rehearsals.
Yeah.
Actually, this last past Sunday, and going well, going really well so far, and looking forward to getting our first, you know, I guess by invitation only workshop show going out in mid December. So,
yeah,
It's we got a very tight time frame for it, so it'll be interesting to see if it all comes together or all implodes on itself. But at the moment, it seems to continue to be all coming together. So that's good.
Dude, no, that's great, man. I know it takes a lot of hard work to put all that stuff together, but it's exciting, man.
Absolutely. Look, it's great. And it's also just given like a wonderful opportunity to meet a lot of folks here in Houston and especially kind of in the theater world. And it kind of gets me back to my roots, man. Like back in the day,
yeah.
Like high school, I was a theater. Were you a theater kid in high school? Or were you a band kid? Or what's the uber nerd?
Neither, I guess. Yeah, I was a in middle school. I did you know, band, but yeah, not in high school, and then never got into to acting or anything. But I had plenty of friends that were. Yeah,
you were like more of the school politics kid, right? Like you were.
I was that guy. Yeah, I was like the school you know, politician. Everyone voted to most likely, you know, run for governor and that type of stuff, and also, you know, a quiz bowl team and you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, I was more on the I guess that side of it, which is funny when you look back on it and, you know, think about, you know, what I'm doing today and kind of my personality and where I'm at. It's it could kind of be farther from the truth, you know.
I don't know, but, man. To some extent, you could you could run for tobacco governor. I figure, like, if Brian Levine can be a doctor in the tobacco world, you could clearly be a governor.
Be a governor, yeah.
Yeah. Or czar, or really, czar. You just kind of be whatever you wanted to be. Emperor of tobacco.
I don't know. That might be a little too much, but yeah, maybe the viceroy or something like that. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I like come that. Up with some cool name. Yeah,
that's good. That's good, man. All right, well, good deal. Well, hey, we've got a great show this week. We're doing, man, one of my favorite type of episodes. We've got Squire Select. Now, for listeners who are not familiar, Squire Select is where we take various beverages and pair them up with various tobaccos. And when I say beverages, I'm not talking about Coca-Cola here, folks. We're talking about some of the old brown water. And today is no exception. We've got some fun drinks, but like, you know, before we really dive into the beverages that we have, I want to just kind of address the unique nature of doing a Squire Select now versus doing a Squire Select back when, you know, when we were both in the same place when I was in Jackson.
Yeah, because yeah.
A lot of people who've never been to the Squire don't know this, but like right down the, like two doors down or three doors down, there is a great package store, a liquor store, where you can get all kinds of great selections of alcohol there. Their whiskey selection's very good. Their scotch selection's very good. And so it's it was like this wealth that we had, this kind of treasure trove right then and there. Worst case scenario, in the early days when we didn't plan as well as we do today, we would be like, oh, Squire Select, what are we going to drink and talk about? Let's go next door.
Let's go next door and figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah. And if we're being like real honest, then it's like, what did some of the people here earlier leave that they didn't drink yet?
That did happen occasionally, didn't it?
On occasion. But yeah, so with us being in two different places and also with as great selection as was available at the shop next to the Country Squire, you know, man, now that I'm in Houston, this is the fourth largest city in America. the selection level here has changed quite a bit. A lot of times I will send you stuff that you've like, you know, a picture of something and you're like, I've never heard of that. I do not know that that exists. What is this?
And exactly.
And so it kind of creates some unique challenges here. So what we did, for one thing, the theme I think this week of the Squire Select is this is very much like, these are classics that we're going to,
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. But to be fair, I knew of one cause I suggested it knowing full well it was available everywhere and I didn't know what you were going to send me. So a couple days ago, I am sitting at the house finishing up some work. I get a knock at the door. It's an Amazon package. It's a package. I open it up, and there is this little square box that contains all of this like deep packaging. Right there's something delicate inside this box, and as soon as I open the box, as many, in fact, all customer Squire patrons know, you just get hit with the smell of the Squire. Like it just instantly takes you to the shop. And I'm like, all right, this is from John David. Well, I cut it open a little bit more and I see here is a mason jar filled to the brim with some sort of brown liquid. Now, I knew that John David was sending me something for Squire Select, but I just thought about the fact that, you know, with this unmarked mason jar of brown fluid, this is like a crazy trust exercise right here. You know what I mean?
I have no clue what's in here. When you think about it, it's true. It's almost like, gosh, you know, I had to take a swig of this and assume that it wasn't like lighter fluid or, you know, a transmission fluid or something like that.
Well, to be fair, I have yet to actually take a swig of it. You know, it trust but verify, right? So in the event that this was something of that nature, it will be caught on audio. Mike, come and find me and rescue me if I don't survive this episode. But yeah, man, so how do you want to start this?
That's right.
Do we want to start with the mason jar or do we want to start with the Henny?
Yeah, let's start with the Hennessy. I think that'll be fun. We're starting today with Hennessy, very special Hennessy. This is, of course, available everywhere. And Bo, I cannot remember if we've done a cognac before on the show. If we have, it has been a very long time. Can you remember?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, we did one kind of a brandy cognac episode, if I'm not mistaken. But like you say, it would have been a very, very long time ago.
Yeah,
But yeah, we certainly have not done Hennessy as of yet.
Yeah, yeah. Hennessy's interesting. You know, this is it's something that I pass over pretty regularly at the package store. I don't really think often about drinking brandy or cognac, and it's just something that doesn't, come up very often. But it's one of those things that's readily available. It's incredibly popular. There's some cocktails that are being made and kind of a resurgence in those pre-prohibition era, cocktails that... Oh, yeah. You know, we're starting to see more and more things that are using cognacs. And so, it's a fun thing to go to. We thought we'd give it a shot. Hennessy, very special, or just the normal Hennessy cognac on the shelf. It is the world's most popular cognac. And, you think about that, that's remarkable. There are a lot of big names out there, obviously, that are also in that vein. And the world's most popular and, readily available. What is cognac, right? We talk about cognac and brandy. We've talked about bourbon and whiskey and all different types of, classifications here. Cognac is a cousin to wine. We're talking about something that is originated from grapes. Cognac is actually brandy, but brandy that is made in a very specific region of France, the Cognac region. And so, we think about like sparkling wine and champagne. Right. You've got these beautiful, awesome California sparkling wines, but, it's champagne, but they can't call it that because of where it's grown. And so cognac, of course, is the same with brandy. It has, it has very strict standards and then, of course, has to be grown in this or made and produced in this specific region. So the white wine is produced. And then it's distilled and aged for 2 years. And so they make, they're using white, grapes for this specific type of wine that they make. And then they actually distill the wine, which is interesting, and then age it, for a minimum of 2 years. And so just makes this kind of interesting burnt wine, sweet matured fruit flavored drink, which, is very popular and, of course, has been around for centuries. And so, it's always interesting to me when you think about these interesting different processes that folks have developed to make this liquor. How did they stumble upon this, right?
Right.
who had the idea? It was like, well, let's make some wine and then let's distill it and then let's put it in the basement for like a decade, you know?
See, I always live off the theory that just somebody forgot about it. You know what I mean? Steve was supposed to pull up that barrel, last Tuesday, and now all of a sudden it's 12 years later and we've invented an entirely new liquor.
Don't forget about Bubba, who actually had the courage to drink the stuff, you know?
Of course. It's like, you know, they should have thrown it out, but Bubba was there and, you know, he wanted $5.
So there you go. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he was desperate, you know, and had a tough day, and he's like, well, what the heck?
What do I got to lose?
What do I have to lose? Yeah. Anyway, Hennessy, 50% of the world's cognac is produced by this manufacturer, by Hennessy. And it's funny, you think of Hennessy. I've never really thought about the origin of the name, but Richard Hennessy, who started this company in 1765. Now, you've got to think that's not just, several centuries ago, but it's also pre-French Revolution. It's pre-American Revolution. We're talking about a very old, company here. And Richard Hennessy, he was actually an Irishman, which is kind of funny. An Irishman, goes to France and is like, well, I mean, you know, we do a lot of this at home. Let's figure out something to distill here. And of course, they came out with this great brand that, has been around for a long time. Yeah, so Hennessy, the very special brand. This is it's an entry level cognac, right? It's a particularly good for someone that is on a budget or looking for something entry level. It is a good cognac for a mixer. You can put it certainly in lots of different cocktails. For instance, the sidecar, which is kind of making a comeback. Have you gotten into that kind of stuff, Bo?
Oh yeah, man. We've got this. I think I've mentioned it before, but we've got a vintage cocktail book that we've been combing through, and I think they call it the Lost and Forgotten Cocktails with just this great history behind every single drink, and some of it, some of the. It's history mixed with mythology. And I think as you kind of dive into a lot of cocktails, that's what you end up finding. The sidecar, of course, it's classic.
Just a classic that's made a real popular comeback. So, Hennessy's great for making that, but it's also good for, drinking on its own as well. Some people will, drink it neat. Some people put it maybe on a little ice or shake it with ice and then drink it, straight up where it's kind of chilled. When you taste Hennessy, nose is, kind of bold. As a matter of fact, Bo, I don't know if you've got it with you. You want to take a swig?
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
Mm. Yeah, there's kind of almost like a thickness to the flavor. I would not classify this in my mind as light. It definitely has kind of a rich flavor to it. And the other thing too is what's really nice about it. I mean, as you mentioned, Hennessy is very much it is an entry level cognac, but it's not a trash cognac. You know what I mean?
It's like, not.
There's a lot of brandies out there that I've tried here and there. And honestly, and stuff that honestly costs a lot more than Hennessy that are kind of terrible, but Hennessy's actually delicious.
I agree, man. Yeah, there's some real dogs out there when it comes to the brandy world, which is interesting to me because Hennessy is not particularly expensive, but I think it is more more palatable. You're right. It is bold. It kind of has it's thick. It's not like a liqueur thick. But it kind of, you could almost imagine it going in that direction where it has kind of a viscous, mouthfeel to it. It's pretty interesting. A bold nose, it has a nutty aroma, I think, which opens up. And the palate, for me, I don't know if you get this, Bo, but it's very, very woody. It has a woody palate, something where you can just imagine, those fresh, French oak barrels that this stuff is aged in. You just really get, get that. Of course, you'll get the grape, you know, flavor of the wine, and then also in the background some almonds I think are there. But you know, you really do get a fresh sweet wood taste. I don't know how else to put it. Yeah. But for me, that is very pronounced. It comes out you know, kind of straight up. So not super complex, but very pleasing. I think. What do you get?
Absolutely, man. Yeah, for me, I'm definitely kind of picking up some of those woodier notes. I mean, there is kind of a molasses nature that you can really kind of pull out.
Yeah.
I kind of almost feel like molasses is probably to cognac what raisins are to pipe tobacco in terms of pulling out flavor notes. But I mean, it's there. And honestly, you know, you think about it, I'm you know, you could drink this easily straight up, maybe give it like an orange or a yellow or rather a lemon twist. And enjoy it with a good quality smoke. In fact, you know, it's interesting because recently, before kind of the weather turned on us, you know, I was chilling in the hot tub and I was given these cigars as a gift. Did I mention these cigars that I got from recently?
You haven't mentioned the hot tub. I'm interested in that.
Oh yeah, I've mentioned the hot tub. Yeah,
no, you have.
The pool has a hot tub in it.
There was a reason I forgot about that. So anyway, go ahead.
Man, when you come up and visit, we're doing a CSR from the hot tub. Just like pipes. We'll have the hot tub going, get the webcam on. Like, we're back, YouTube. Yeah.
It'll be such great. Such a disaster. Yeah, it'd be a train wreck. Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, as we kind of transition a little bit more into the tobacco pairing, I have to mention this because it was probably either right before you went kind of off on paternity or right before or right during, but yeah. I was doing a conference in Chicago. I was running tech for that, and we had originally had a technical director who pulled out last minute, and so we were kind of scrounging to put together the show, and it worked out well. You know, I'm very much kind of the technical MacGyver, especially when it comes to audio. So we were able to work it out okay. And he actually did let us use his equipment, regardless of the fact that he wasn't going to be there for the majority of it. But he did show up midway through to apologize profusely and gave me a couple cigars. And I was like, oh man, this is awesome. Okay, yeah, we're cool now. Kind of. We have kind of a me and this guy have kind of a rivalry. He's more of a video guy. I'm an audio guy, and so there's.
Good. That's, well, at least he threw you a bone by, or, you know, a little peace offering there.
Exactly. Well, here's the deal. I just don't smoke cigars that often. I'm between the two, I am very much a pipe guy. Now, I like cigars. I don't smoke them often enough to be able to really kind of enjoy them. So
I'm very well aware of the time that you smoked one and then vomited in the bushes behind the shop.
That did not happen. Yeah. Look, he's exaggerating. That did not happen. I know what time he's talking about. So there is some truth to that story, but not the vomit. That didn't happen. But regardless, man, these were really great cigars. So I wanted to like enjoy them to the fullest, right? Because since I never do this. So I cranked up the hot tub and I got myself some cognac, man. Because I mean, like, you know, you think about sitting there with a little bit of a brandy sniffer with a cigar and you put it in the hot tub, you feel like you're like a Hollywood bureaucrat or something, or a Hollywood bigwig producer or whatnot. And it was quite pleasant, even with the kids running around asking, what's that? watching me smoke a cigar for the first time ever. But anyway.
That's hilarious. No, that's great.
So yeah, if I wanted to go pipe, that's the question. Like, what pipe tobacco do you go with good Hennessy?
Yes, indeed. Well, you know, I think this particular tobacco or particular whiskey, you know, just because of that, you know, kind of fresh, sweet, woody flavor, it would pair well with a Virginia or a more natural flavor aromatic, something that just has maybe some flavoring, but not over the top. And so, we went today with actually one of our Country Squire blends. It's a blend that we have not had at the shop very long, but have had here for maybe a little over a year now, and it's Delta Honeydew. Delta
Ooh,
Honeydew,
interesting. Okay,
tobacco that has become very popular at our shop. It is an aromatic, but it's a very Virginia forward aromatic. It's a tobacco that you know, it just has a lot of that bright leaf in there. It is one of those kind of everything but the kitchen sink tobaccos. You know, it's got a dash of this and a dash of that, but is definitely Virginia forward. And honeydew tobaccos, as we've mentioned before, we use that term, but it's one of the things where it's you know, it's a it's a Virginia, it's a sweet Virginia tobacco. It's a tobacco that, you know, is a Virginia, but also is a little flavored on the front end. And so, you know, you will have some type of sweetness there that is just unavoidable. And, you know, which makes a nice pairing. It's one of those that for Virginia smokers, for non-aromatic smokers, it can be a nice change up here and there. And so, yeah, Delta Honeydew is that. The bright leaf there and that little bit of sugar topping, I think, pairs really well with the nutty flavors that are in the background of the Hennessy, and then also, you know, certainly with that kind of bright woody flavor, that sweet woody flavor that comes out right there up front. So, and I think when you smoke Delta Honeydew, you'll really get that. It's one of those where, you know, the grassiness is there. It's up front, but it's just nicely kind of accentuated, buttressed a little bit with that, you know, delicious, you know, little bit of sweetened Cavendish. So, yeah. Delta Honeydew with our cognac today.
All right, man. Well, it's a, I think it's a great pairing. Makes a lot of sense. Actually, the moment that you said it, I was like, yeah, that's perfect. As is always the case with the Squire Selects. So as I kind of down the last of my Hennessy here, is it time for the crazy trust exercise?
I think so. Yeah.
Now this will be interesting because not only is it a trust exercise, it's going to be an exercise in precision as I attempt to pour this mason jar into a little glass. Maybe I should just sip directly from the mason jar.
I think you should actually.
That, you know what? That seems right.
That would make more sense. Yeah.
that absolutely seems right. Okay. All right.
So, I agree.
So as I crack this open, first of all, I want to talk about the branding here of this mason jar. It has none. Smells good though. What'd you give me, man?
Yeah, so this is actually a name we'll all recognize, but maybe something that we haven't tried from them, just because you know haven't had the guts to or didn't want to pull the trigger on something this expensive from this label. But it's something I thought we'd give a shot to. You know, it's Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Select, from Jack Daniel's.
Jack, yeah, which is classy.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. It's like you know his cousin, right? That came in and from the city, maybe. You know, and who is the brother of Gentleman Jack, maybe.
Oh, I like it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Select retails for about $50 a bottle. This is not your grandfather's Jack Daniel's. You know, it's one of those whiskeys that, you know, we do recognize the label. It's, you know, from obviously one of the world's most popular distilleries, Lynchburg, Tennessee. It's 94 proof. You know, it's pretty, you know, looking from the bottle, pretty straightforward. But it's, you know, it's a more elegant rendition of the original favorite, and also the packaging. You know, it has that kind of bottle that, you know, harkens back to their traditional Jack Daniel's bottle, but a little more flair, right? It's got something that, you know, makes you know that you're drinking something a little more premium. And I think that's apparent when you try the whiskey. So,
okay. I'm sorry. Premium and Jack Daniel's, it feels weird.
It feels kind of weird. Yeah, it does. It feels weird. It's one of those things where it's like, well, you know, there's a reason it sells so much. I mean, Jack Daniel's over time. But yeah, I mean, this is one of those that, you know, they've selected some more premium material. They've put it through some very special processes that I'll talk about in a second. And you know, come out with something, you know, a little more, just a little different. And I think the price point reflects that. And it tastes good. It really does. Huh. So you want to give it a shot? Let's toast it up.
All right, cheers. Doing the clanking of the glasses for the ambiance, the theater of the mind, as we
toast. I know, right? Exactly.
Yeah, miles away. Well, huh? I need another sip here.
It's a pregnant pause.
I don't know how I feel about this. Like, there's a flavor profile in here that I'm not a fan of. Just, like, out the gate.
Really?
And yeah, okay. It's not that it's Jack Daniel's, so... But maybe.
Maybe.
No, it just... There's a... Man. Although, this could it could be that you've mixed in some of that Squire aroma into the mason jar along with.
Yeah,
what tobacco was in here? Like, be honest with me. What tobacco was in here before the drink?
Man, it was a clean mason jar. It was brand new. It's one that had not been used before. Came straight out of the packaging. But it's interesting. This particular whiskey, it is 80% corn, 12% malted barley, and 8% rye. Mm. What's fascinating about this, you know, we all know Jack Daniel's markets themselves as Tennessee whiskey. This is actually a whiskey that could be marketed because of its ingredients. It could be marketed as bourbon. But I think because of that, the Tennessee whiskey tradition, what you expect from Jack Daniels, they stuck with that that moniker, that labeling, and so we do have the Tennessee whiskey labeling, which I think is appropriate and makes sense.
Yeah,
it goes through.
Sure. I mean, like, you know, that is. I think, you know, and I don't know, but it does seem like there's kind of a desire on Jack Daniel's part to kind of maintain a broadness to their whiskeys, right? Like,
yeah.
Instead of having kind of these, I mean, they do have specialty options, but kind of keeping it all just in that broad spectrum, it does make a lot of sense. I got to say, you know, and again, this is a personal preference. When it comes to even bourbon, I always lean towards the bourbon distillers that push it on the rye. And go with as like higher rye content within their bourbon as possible. That's just where my preferred, flavor palette.
Kind of palette.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe what I'm tasting here is not necessarily a specific flavor. Maybe what I'm tasting here is a lack of a certain flavor.
Lack of flavor or more emphasis on the the barley or the corn. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, at 80% corn, this obviously is pretty heavy there. But it's one of those that if you're looking for that kind of bitey, zesty rye flavor that some folks love, this probably isn't the one for you. But they put this particular whiskey through an interesting process. They call it the Lincoln County process. I thought this was fascinating as I researched it. They drip this particular batch for 6 days in 10-foot vats, and they pass it through charcoal that was made by burning maple, and the maple was seasoned with 140-proof Jack Daniels. Wow. So they basically took maple and maple wood and seasoned it with very, non-cut Jack Daniels, and then it made a charcoal out of it, burned it, and then that is what they're filtering this particular whiskey through. And then they, of course, they age it in 4 to 7 years in the oak barrels. And so it's just got a very interesting, process that they put this behind. The whiskey itself is not super complex, I don't think, but it is one of those that, it has a distinctive flavor. And I'm sure it's due in some sense to that fascinating process that they put it through. So kind of interesting. Tasting notes, when you, crack this thing open, you're going to get caramel. For me, there is a sweet bread flavor, like a sweet toast flavor that's right there. That's very, very pleasing for just a simple, simple premium whiskey. Some ginger notes are there. And when you drink the tobacco, don't do that at home. Don't do that anywhere. When you drink the whiskey, the palate is that toasted oak, the bready flavors, some of those kind of sweet bready flavors with maybe some kitchen spices in there. One thing that's apparent to me is I'll be interested to see if you get this, Bo. It's like a plantain or a banana flavor.
Yes. All right. I didn't want to sound like an idiot, but that was like the big flavor that I immediately picked up on was like banana.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do not like that flavor in whiskey.
That's so funny. Yeah, I'm glad you caught that. It's interesting. There's like a, you know, that kind of, you know, tropical fruit, but the, you know, that plantain or banana flavor, it's there. It really is there. Man, and it's something that I think is apparent. So those bready flavors almost, you know, if you're thinking about it, like a good, you know, if you like this anyway, but like a good banana bread, right? You know, something that's just kind of... hearty and sweet. So, you know, kind of interesting. Smooth, but lightly spicy, this particular, you know, bourbon or whiskey. And, you know, just has a lingering finish that bites a little bit, but, you know, it stays with you, but I think is overall really pleasant. So, you know, a simple whiskey, not something that's particularly sophisticated or complicated, but, you know, just straightforward and I think pretty tasty. So, but you don't have to, Bo. That's the beauty. That's why they, as one of my friends says, that's why they make chocolate and vanilla. You get to pick.
Yeah. Yeah. And they make banana and whiskey. Dang.
And banana. Right.
All right. You know what? I need to just trust myself next time. Because literally the first thing I think of was like, why am I tasting banana in this? And but I didn't say it because I know how...
You didn't want to sound like an idiot. Yeah.
Well, and I know how particular your palate is. So I'm like, all right, well, you know, I'm sure I would think it's banana, but John David will pull out that it's some sort of
like
tropical fruit
yeah.
of this something that has been aged in ketchup or, you know, who knows what.
No, that's
all right,
great.
So dude. How do you counter... I mean, how do you complement this, this drink?
No, right. I'm actually, yeah, really interesting. The first tobacco that came to my mind, and after smoking it with this whiskey, really enjoyed it, was from our one of our favorite blending houses, if you will, that is in America, and of course one of our listeners and good friends, Greg Peace, GL Peace, and he makes a tobacco that everybody knows about called Haddo's Delight. Haddo's Delight is a delicious tobacco. It's a you know, very popular blend, one of the favorites of for GL Peace fans. Virginia and Perique, strong tobacco with a hint of Cavendish and. It's got some white burley in it, which kind of gives it, you know, more body, a little bit of warmth, and then a nice nicotine boost there. It's a strong and smooth tobacco, you know, not super complex, but one of those that I think is, again, very straightforward and honest, but very tasty, very... you know, kind of hits the spot if you're looking for that, you know, full-bodied but smooth Virginia Perique. Strong and smooth, pleasantly spicy. It has just a little bit of a bite, which is the kind that I think you'd want in a tobacco like that. And I like it with this particular whiskey because it has that kind of bready flavor to it. One of the first things I get when I smell Haddo's Delight right from the tin is almost like a gingerbread or a banana bread, something that's like a sweet, you know, sweet warm loaf. It's kind of interesting. So I'd love to, you know if other folks, when they smell this particular tin, get that note. But it's very apparent to me. So. So pairing these single barrel select Jack Daniels with Haddo's Delight from GLP's.
Man, that's good. I mean, that's a great, great pairing, I'm sure. But I got to tell you, I don't think I'll be having the single barrel select after today. However, I'll definitely be having some of that GLP's. We've actually, if I'm not mistaken, we've done a tobacco talk on Haddo's Delight in within the last year or so, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think we have actually. Yeah.
So, good one. Very, very good one. Always great to highlight that one. And yeah, you look, I'm sure there are a ton of Jack Faniels. Jack Faniels? Is that what they call them? Jack?
That's right. That's what they call them. Mm-hmm.
That should be what they call them. Jack Daniels fans. Jack Faniels. Out there. And so I'm not trying to bash Jack Daniels at all. That is not my situation. But I'm not a big fan. So... But if you are, let us know if you think these pairings are good or if you've got some other suggestions. Hey, we'd love to hear those as well. So be sure to send those along. You know, the great thing is whenever we're trying out new tobaccos, especially kind of with the intention of getting like to those flavor profiles, you know, one of the best ways to do it is with a good quality smoke that you can get from a corncob pipe from our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
That's exactly right, man. We know and love Missouri Meerschaum and, of course, the legendary you know, pipe maker, celebrating its 150th year anniversary this year. And they've just had a slew of events and new products that have come out in celebration of that. And two of those products that we're really proud of and very glad to talk about are the 150th year anniversary tobacco from Missouri Meerschaum, just a beautiful, you know, giant yellow label with their logo on a vacuum sealed coin style tin. Very, very handsome. The other one today that we're going to talk about is the Missouri Meerschaum Independence Day pipe tobacco. You know, you've got that coin style vacuum sealed tin. It's just a delicious English aromatic tobacco. It has a nice soft vanilla flavoring to it, but it's not over the top, and a hearty dose of Cyprian Latakia, which gives it a nice smoky note. So for those that like English style blends but want to mix it up with something maybe a little sweeter, or for folks that are aromatic smokers but are looking for that you know, tobacco to kind of push the edge, or maybe a good fall or winter time blend that goes well with that bourbon or campfire, the Missouri Meerschaum Independence Day, which was introduced, it is very just a great tobacco. I think you'll really enjoy it. For someone, as you know, if you've listened to Country Squire Radio for a long time, for someone that doesn't smoke a lot of Latakia, this blend was really enjoyable just because of the various notes that that play well with each other. And I think it's one of those aromatics that actually will age well over time. So anyway, it's just a fantastic tobacco. It's something that you can get straight from the source at corncobpipe.com. Retails for only $11.99, and I think it'll be a great addition to your tobacco cellar.
Yeah, more on some of the tobaccos from our friends at Missouri Meerschaum coming next week, so be sure to stay tuned.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man, we have got a pipe question of the week that is coming in from Erica Rivertree in Louisville,
yeah.
Kentucky, a club member.
That's great.
At Derby City Pipe Club. Shout out to the Derby City Pipe Club. Also a CSR club member as well. So shout out to Erica. By the way, Rivertree, best name ever. Very Tolkien. You know what I mean? Or Tolkien.
It's a Tolkien-esque name, right? Yeah, I agree.
That's awesome. All right, so here's what Erica writes. Greetings, John, David, and Bo. First, I adore Country Squire Radio and have learned so much from going back and listening through the archives. Each episode is delightful edutainment, and I eagerly look forward to every new one. Now, on to the question. When a tobacco blend is described as, quote, Lakeland, what exactly does that mean? I have come across references to various blends being a Lakeland style with characteristic perfume aroma, but I don't really ever see Lakeland listed as its own category, such as aromatic, English, Virginia Perique, etc. Can you help illuminate the Lakeland conundrum? Happy piping, CSR Club Squire member Erica Rivertree.
Yeah, man, Erica, great to hear from you. So glad you wrote in. And man, yeah, Lakeland tobaccos, right? It's one of those things that you occasionally hear if you're more into the pipe community than just on the surface. You know, what this derives from, the name Lakeland tobacco, it is a reference to tobaccos that are made in the Lake District of England, and primarily two main you know, tobacco houses that are up there, really, and really just one large group, but it's Gaywith and Hogarth and Sam Gaywith, you know, tobacco companies, and they produce a lot of tobaccos that have this particular flavor. Now, if you look at the history of tobacco in Great Britain, for much of the 20th century, flavoring tobaccos in Great Britain was illegal. And the only flavoring that you could introduce into the tobacco was this essence of rose water, or it's almost like a kind of a perfumey flavoring that's very subtle but incredibly pronounced. Well, I don't. Yeah, it's hard. It's like a. It's a very subtle flavor that is very polarizing. That's the best way I can put it, I guess. But Lakeland tobaccos, I've always considered them aromatic tobaccos because they are. It is an extra flavoring that I think is apparent, and so it's one of those things that defines the tobacco when you smoke it. Different ones that are. that would be considered, you know, Lakeland-style tobaccos are Sam Gaywith's Lakeland Dark, or the Gaywith and Hogarth Innerdale, Kendall Dark, or Kendall Flake, and they have a whole variety of them. I even get Lakeland flavors I've mentioned on the show before from Peter Stokeby Luxury Bullseye Flake. I don't know if that's intentional. I don't know if that's something they actually are doing to flavor that particular tobacco. But, you know, when I smoke Luxury Bullseye Flake, I get that perfumey, rose watery flavor. So there's an element of kind of this floral note to it. If you'll think about, sticking your head in a bouquet of roses or something, it's like that's the note that you get from these Lakeland tobaccos. And so, for me, I'm not a fan. I don't enjoy it. I think it's like, smelling the inside of my grandmama's purse.
Wow.
You know, I don't care for it. And it's a very, it's a tobacco that will ghost the, stink out of your pipe. And so if you don't know if you like Lakeland tobaccos, I would smoke it. Obviously, we highly recommend corncob pipes to smoke, new tobaccos out of, just to see if you like them. And, get your favorite Missouri Meerschaum. Grab a Missouri Meerschaum Legend, or if you want a small bowl, maybe something like a Shortstop or Pony Express. And, pack that thing with the, with your, Lakeland tobacco you're trying, and just see if you like it before you put it in a briar, because it has a distinctive flavor that I think will, you may or may not like. And if you do like it, you'll probably want to even devote maybe a certain pipe to it because of the distinctiveness. So, that's kind of the rundown. You've got these tobaccos that are flavored with this kind of floral essence, and they are made in the Lake District of England, and so we refer to them as Lakeland tobaccos. And so I hope that helps. I consider them aromatics. They're typically made of Virginia Burley, blends, but they are flavored with this stuff, so I would kind of consider that an aromatic. But they can also be in their own category too. So I don't know. It's clear as mud, but try them out, see what you think. They're different. They really are. And I don't care for them.
There you go. Well, hey, great question, Erica. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week for us, be sure to send it in. show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quick fire question.
Ow!
How, man? That's a little rough, right? On you. You probably
it was a little tough, man. I'm sitting here. I'm trying to get better, So I had to tone it back a little bit.
Yeah, no, I understand. All right, of course, quick fire questions brought to you by some Country Squire Radio swag available over at thecountrysquireonline.com. This one has a fall edition theme. Are you ready, sir?
Yeah, bring it.
Football on the couch or in the stands?
Okay, if it's one of my teams. Which I really just have one team, and that's Mississippi State. Uh-huh. Then in the stands is the way. But all the others. I mean, I don't know. That's the only football I care about. So yeah, I'll go within the stands. I don't get to go to the to Starkville to see the football games very often, just because it's on the weekends, a lot of work on the weekends, and the expense involved and all that kind of stuff. But man, I do love going to a live football game. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, contrary to popular belief, I have gone to some football games. I've seen seen the Saints play in person, obviously University of Mississippi, rival, I suppose, of Mississippi State.
Yeah, the other school in our state. Yep.
I've been to a couple games there. I want to say that I've been to a state game. I probably haven't. I know I've been to an LSU game, but anyway, suffice to say, the comfort of my own home, I find much more preferable than being in the stands. But I could imagine if I was like into it, why I would choose the stands. But since I'm not, give me the couch. All right, next up, fire pit or fireplace?
fireplace 8 times out of 10, I would say. Sometimes you want a fire pit because you also want to be outside. But I don't know. I love a fireplace. Fireplaces are rare nowadays. You know, they don't really build houses with, well, I say rare. They don't really build new houses with real fireplaces in them. You see a lot of gas logs and things like that. But a real fireplace, wood burning fireplace. For me, there's almost nothing like it.
Yeah. You know, we just recently, this past week, converted our fireplace back to a wood burning. Apparently it had originally been a wood burning, but they turned it into a gas and we could never get the gas logs to work right. So we were like, you know what? We like wood burning anyway. So let's just, you know, rip it all out and go back to the classic.
And that's great.
Oh, it's so great, man. Just like the crackling of the fire and, you know, that pine smell. Now I will say, you know, we haven't had a fire in several days and yet that smell is still here. So I've got to figure that thing out. But
no, that's part of the allure, I think, for having a fireplace. It's like, oh, you know, it's wintertime because you kind of smell that a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting. So that way, you know, when the freezing cold temperatures of 68 degrees in Houston, Texas, you can crank that fireplace up and you'll feel, feel nice and toasty.
Yeah, the tundra, as we refer to that.
The tundra, right.
All right. So this one, next one, flavor palette. Again, fall edition, fall flavor palette, maple or pumpkin?
Gosh, I'm going to go pumpkin. I mean, I don't know. I really do like pumpkin. The, you know, pumpkin spice thing I think is kind of overdone, but I do love pumpkin. I really do.
Yeah, I generally maple. However, like donut, maple donut, come on, that's amazing. But my wife actually just discovered a recipe for pumpkin scones, of all things. And they're fantastic. And it made me reappreciate pumpkin in a whole new light this year. So, but I got to go. I'm going to go maple by a hair. Maple by a hair.
Okay.
Rake or leaf blower?
Leaf blower.
I'm going to go rake. I like the precision of a rake. I know the leaf blower, like, you know, it cuts the job in half, but it's all over the place. And then finally, this is fighting words. And we realize that, you know, we're diving into a subject matter that might divide the audience here, but I think it needs to be addressed. If not here, then where?
Yeah, that's fair.
Christmas decorations after Halloween, after Thanksgiving, or on or after December 1st?
Yeah, so it's kind of a pick the best of the three, right? Is it immediately after Halloween, after that period in between Thanksgiving and December, or are you the purist that, you know, sticks it out till December 1st? I'm a after Thanksgiving guy. Like, you know, Thanksgiving for me is close enough to December that, like, I feel like I can get away, you know, with that, with good, and still be, trying to hold it back a little bit. My wife is very much not. She is like, right now, she's, you know, chomping at the bit to, you know, decorate and all that kind of stuff. And she loves Christmas, man. She starts counting Christmas down, starting in September. And so, I think for our marriage harmony, I probably couldn't hold out till December 1st. So, you know, if I get to Thanksgiving, for me, that's a win.
Yeah. No, I understand that. I understand. I feel like many, many marriages are held together based on their ability to answer this question. Like come to, it's like the one area where there's no winners or losers. There's just negotiation. And
that's fair.
Yeah. So I'm more of an on December 1st guy. However, my wife is in the same boat as yours with wanting to, go as soon as humanly possible.
Dude, she's ready.
Yeah. that being said, we have kind of agreed on the day after Thanksgiving as kind of an appropriate day to start shopping for trees. And so, you know, you're putting up the fall decorations. That's the perfect time to, like, get down the Christmas decorations. You know, a large part of it has to do with that. But I got to tell you, man, like, the neighborhood I live in, like, it's a gear change. Like, we, Halloween night, had a great Halloween. And then the next day, there's these three houses. And John David, you'll see this when you come visit at some point. I hope you come visit at some point.
Yeah, I need to.
But our neighborhood is rather pretentious, unfortunately. Like, it comes across as more pretentious as it is, because when you drive in, there's these three massive houses that make you think, what on earth? Where did I step into? And they go all out for decorations. And so like Halloween night, you had some, you know, ghosts and goblins and everything else. Like the next day, somehow before we even woke up for breakfast, there's like a choir of angels all over their like their yard. And I'm like, we skipped a season and a holiday here. What do you
skipped a whole holiday? Exactly. Yeah, I know, right?
So, you know,
that's hilarious.
I'm more
man.
Of a December yeah, guy, but after Thanksgiving, I think is the that's the way to go.
If we can get that far, that's a win. Yeah exactly. I agree.
All right, well, hey, if you've got some quick fire questions for us, be sure to send them in. show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Listener feedback coming in this week. We've got actually one that I got earlier today. I kind of bumped up because I wanted to address it. This is coming in from Ben Amaris over on Facebook. Man, what did Ben have to say?
Yeah, he said, "Hey guys, huge fan here. I was wondering if you guys would consider adding show notes to your episodes. The most recent, for example, you gave a few recommendations, and I was driving while listening, so I couldn't write them down. It'd be nice if there were notes to be able to look up the products you talk about. John David, congrats on the new parent life. Enjoy every sleepless minute of it. It is a blessing. Cheers." And that's from Ben. Ben, it has been very sleepless. But, I mean, thank you for your well wishes. And yeah, Bo, what do you think about man, the idea of show notes?
I think the children are a blessing, but it's okay that this time in life is not a blessing. This time in life is something to get through.
I'll be honest, man. We're in survival mode. Yeah. We really are. We are trying to power through. You know, our sweet baby, when she is happy, she is so precious and sweet. But man, she is not happy very often, and we are just ready for her to be well and not feel so uncomfortable. She's just been really colicky. So yeah, man, it's one of those, you know, every day is a new adventure. But we love our baby even if she's sick. But she has not been a particularly happy baby. So we're just trying to get through, man, one day at a time.
Yeah, no, man, it's all good. Ben, great question. All right, let me go ahead and address this. So there was a time in which we actually did have extremely detailed notes. That was courtesy of Mark VV, a longtime listener and friend of the show. And I'm not opposed to having show notes connected to the episodes. In fact, I would love that. The thing is, we need somebody to kind of volunteer to create that. So, Ben, if you don't mind, I'll just kind of use this as an opportunity just to kind of put out there. If you want to kind of do a quote-unquote internship with Country Squire Radio and maybe get access to the episode early and listen through and kind of throw together some show notes that include, you know, tobaccos referenced or, you know, potentially even links. It does not nearly have to be as detailed as Mark VV's. Mark really went all out, and we definitely don't necessarily need that. I think just kind of some high points and specific links or specific names and brands referenced would be amazing. So anyway, great suggestion, Ben. Would love to see that happen, but we'd need the additional help in order to make it happen. So yeah, so become a Country Squire Radio intern today. all right, and then next one coming in from Chaplain Corey. Did I say that right, Chaplain? I mean, I think that's right.
I think you did.
Chaplain.
I think it's Chaplain.
I want to say Chaplain. What did Chaplain have to say?
He said, this is from back in September. He said, "Hey, Bo and John David, I hope this finds you well. I know there are only 3 short months of summer left, and then it will be Christmas here in the South. As I mourn the lack of fall here on a beautiful Fort Bragg, I got to thinking about other things I'm mourning, and a show idea came to my mind. Here's the concept. Pipe culture mourning McClelland. I think it would be cool to talk about our greatly missed tobacco company and solicit some feedback from the audience. Topics could include the proper amount of time to age a tin, special occasions for opening a tin, and updating this discussion on replacements for Frogmorton. Maybe even get some snarky comments from Brian Levine." That's all the comments from Brian Levine. I would plan to release this around the 2-year anniversary of the closing of the company, and I think this would be somewhat close to International Pipe Smoking Day. One other fun idea would be to ask for unsealing videos from listeners. This is the Pipe Smokers version of the unboxing video. Just a thought, plenty to run with there. Blessings to you both, and congratulations in advance, John David. And of course, this was submitted maybe a little bit before we had our precious bundle. So yeah, right. Anyway, Chaplain Corey, man, thank you so much for writing in. Yeah, fun idea. You know, we miss McClelland, gosh, as blenders and as tobacco consumers and enthusiasts and fanboys. Man, we just really miss them. And so, yeah, it would be a fun, you know, tribute, but also post-mortem, you know, to kind of look into all that. So Bo, what do you think?
Well, you know, so obviously we covered the news. We did you know, it's a subject matter that comes up from time to time. You know, I think we have discussed, just, you know, off mic, wanting to do a just a look back at not just McClelland, but also just the way in which things went down and kind of
how it went down. Yeah.
Yeah. Almost kind of, almost an autopsy, not of McClelland per se, but just of the way in which McClelland left the industry. Taking a look specifically, kind of went through the broader narrative of legacy. And legacy is something that I think is a important topic, especially in kind of the pipe culture and the pipe world. You know,
I agree.
You know, yeah. We talk about it all the time with pipe culture, man. There's a connection for many of us. We're picking up the pipe that was kind of handed to us by our grandfather or father or you know, some sort of a passing of the torch, if you will. And then many of us, as we kind of, you know, look at our pipe collections, we kind of see an artifact that we'll be handing down to the younger generation. And so legacy, I think it's safe to say, is at the core of many of us who kind of come to the pipe and enjoy it still today. So, you know, all that to say, I there will be a episode kind of looking at the legacy of McClelland here just as soon as we can do it the way that we need to do it. And that'll make...
Yeah, and that we want to and feel, you know, is best. Yep.
Yeah, that it'll make more sense when we get there. but anyway, suffice to say, yes, great, great suggestion, Chaplain. And thank you very much for that. Hey, if you've got some listener feedback, we love getting those in, especially over on iTunes. If you head over to iTunes, you can write us a review, and we'd love to read those off on the show. It doesn't cost you a dime to do it, but if you're willing to spend a dime to help support the show or a few more, head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio. And yes, look, I know there are a lot of new patrons that we need to give shouts out to. That is coming next week. I promise. John David, hold me accountable because I'm writing it here in the notes.
Bo promises.
New patrons. It's now in the show notes, which we have behind the scenes, but clearly not in the actual episode.
Right. Not for public consumption.
Not for public consumption. But hey, be sure to send that that feedback in. We love getting that. And yes, of course, you can follow us throughout the week at The Real Bo York is me.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
And of course, the show as well as at Squire Radio, and all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Well, man, some classic beverages here for Squire Select.
Dude, I know. I had fun, man. It's always good to try some different things. And, you know, one new thing, one thing that I haven't visited in a while. And, you know, it's a good time to maybe use some of the leftovers to experiment with some cocktails.
There it is. Yes.
Yeah, that'll be my homework for the week.
Yeah, likewise, man. That'll be it's always fun to dive into those kind of classic cocktails. And who knows, maybe at one point when we have finally, at long last, exhausted all of the various brown liquors that are out there by themselves, we'll just start doing Squire Selects with cocktails.
That's fair.
Sidecar Select or something of that nature. All right, man. Well, hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.